Blog Talk Radio.
As a possible hurricane gets ready to plow into Texas, Superstorm mainstream media continues to its assault upon our duly elected commander-in-chief by saying that he's crazy, he's unstable, he has none of the elements that a leader would need, none of them, and he has to be removed. And on top of that, he's nuts. Now, I've never really seen anything like this to this level, which could correspond with the possible biblical level of flooding, biblical style flooding in Texas and Louisiana, which have certainly in the last couple of years gotten a lot of flooding. We've got Ben coming on. And so I've got so many freaking stories here, but let's first get into this. Really want to get into the storm, but I don't know. All right, I've got some from weather.com here, but I was kind of a little bit taken aback when I saw the level of water surge. A hurricane is like a big vacuum. It spins around and it sucks water up. I think that's the best way to describe it. And so what it does is it kind of vacuums up the water and drags it on shore through the wind. So anyway, here's Dominica Davis at weather.com.
Warnings have been issued along the Texas coastline, along with disaster declarations declared in 30 Texas counties ahead of Tropical Storm Harvey, which looks to bring catastrophic flooding. Here's a look at the latest. It has gained strength overnight. Winds now up to 45 miles per hour. It is moving off to the north at 10 miles per hour. Hurricane warnings and watches have been issued. You can see those warnings are extensive along the coastline. Here's a look at the projected path. Now, as it's expected to make landfall between Friday night and Saturday morning, we could see this storm make landfall as a Category 1 hurricane. However, it's not the strength of this storm we're concerned about. It is the rainfall and the storm surge. Storm surge warnings have been issued. We could see a peak storm surge of 5 to 7 feet along the coast. This storm is expected to potentially stall out once it makes landfall, and that's why the rain is such a concern. In some cases, we could have over 15 inches. Isolated amounts of over 2 feet along the coast are not out of the question.
All right, so talking about 15 inches in Corpus Christi, unbelievable, really. And like I was saying, you know, they talk about the low pressure. What happens is these storms spin around and they're over the water, so it kind of makes it's not really completely tight, but it is this storm kind of sucking air out and lifting the water, the immense power of these storms. And so then as the wind blows, it drives this elevated water onto the shore, and then you've got massive amounts of rain coming in as well. So it could be a real catastrophe, and I think it's been since 2008 since they had a hurricane. That's what I was reading. I'll see if I can get another clip here for you. But anyway, it could affect us. Those clouds, you know, these hurricanes tend to be so giant that they spread out for thousands of miles. And so it is probably goes without saying that it's going to do something to New Mexico. Now, here is just a little bit. All right, let me So, all right, so here we go. Here is a little more from Weather Channel.
Greg Abbott declares a disaster declaration for 30 counties ahead of Tropical Storm Harvey, which is likely to become a hurricane by Friday. You can see the preps underway there. This is expected to be a big storm, not in terms of strength, but in terms of the prolonged rain event they are expecting. Storm forming in the Gulf, be prepared. That's exactly what we're seeing, and it's not just in Texas. We are also seeing this along the Gulf. But there's a look at store shelves now emptied as people stock up on water and other storm necessities.
And one more clip here. 9 years since the last hurricane.
This was 9 years ago. Hurricane Ike made landfall as a Category 2 hurricane in Galveston, causing extensive flooding and damage, as you can see there. There's a look at the satellite of Hurricane Ike. And here's a look at the track. Now, this was in September back in 2008. Texas hasn't seen a hurricane since then. In fact, a total of only 15 hurricanes have made landfall in Texas since 1950, and only four of those hurricanes occurred this century. Now we are monitoring Tropical Storm Harvey, which could become a hurricane as soon as today. Will it make landfall along Texas as a hurricane? Well, we'll have to wait and see.
And so anyway, we'll see if I can find some more clips for you after during the break. But a hurricane is kind of an interesting category. 3, 4, or 5 hurricane is really something else. Having survived a few over in Florida, hurricane warning now, according to the front of Drudge, 30 inches of rain. Harvey comes back from mostly dead to threaten Gulf Coast with a biblical flood disaster. And this is from Mashable. So they say that the rainfall could go from 20 to 30 inches in some places, depending, because they say the storm is going to meander. So a hurricane is sustained winds of at least 74 miles an hour. So obviously, there could be a lot of catastrophe there. We'll take a little break here and come back and talk about the media attacking Trump in a way that even for them seems unhinged. 523-1450 to call in. 805-6180 is your text line. Somebody said it's not Death Row Radio, it's Death Watch Radio. So here we go. Death Watch Radio. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Les Cruces.
I got a feeling called the blues, oh Lord, since my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know what to do. All I do is satisfy. Oh Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She'll do me, she'll do you. She's got the kind of loving. Lord, I love to hear her when she calls me sweet daddy.
All right, I played for you yesterday a clip by the gentleman named Claptrapper, who used to run the intelligence. And as you recall, you probably remember him from before that when he got up and lied and said that the NSA was not stealing your information, was not monitoring you, which was one of the biggest lies in history. He gets up and says that Trump is so obviously losing it that he's looking for a way out. And so you've got all of these narratives out there. What's a narrative? A narrative is a story. It's a storyline. And, this ability for the media to make a storyline and then play it out is no different than a movie script or the parts in a play. Everybody has their part to play, right? Because they're fighting to save, really, in their minds, in their own deluded, demented minds, these people are fighting to save civilization, to save the earth. if you're a global warming nut, what does Trump represent? He represents walking away from the cure for global warming. So through Trump, the earth is going to get cooked. Now, this is putting aside the fact that there's been a pause in global warming for 20 or 30 years. Let's not let the facts get in our way here. If you're into race, if race is your main interest in life, Donald Trump is a Nazi. He's Hitler. And the fact that he dated a half black girl for 2 years, that his son-in-law is Jewish, that he has a number of friends that are of various races, including Kanye West. The fact that I believe someone was saying he himself is his Jewish roots, that his original name was Trump, and that a Jewish friend of mine was telling me that there was a good possibility that he was Jewish. But so how do you prove that someone is nuts, right? I mean, so what are we missing for the last 10 days, 11 days, the last 2 weeks? Any mention of Russia? What does that mean? It means they don't have anything. So they shift gears, just like in a movie. You have a plot line, the story goes along, and the story takes a turn in one direction, and the plot plays out. And let's just say that this particular thing comes to an end, this part of the story. Then the cameras, you know, relocate to a new place, a new building, a new city, a new country, a new time. And they pick up the story. So the story, the underlying story, is that Donald Trump is a devil. He's Satan personified. And like Satan, he's got 1,000 different disguises. He's got 10,000 different tricks. He's got 1,000,000 lies. He's evil incarnate, and he is here to consume the souls of innocent, especially innocent liberals. So here's Joe Scarborough. Now, Joe Scarborough at one time was saying he wanted to be considered for Trump's vice president. Then Donald Trump kind of kicked Scarborough to the curb. And now Scarborough is coming out and presenting himself like a completely unbiased person. And this is from MSNBC, of course. Although I don't hear it playing anything. Hold on. Oh, here we go.
The what Michael Hayden warned about in August of 2016. And, you know, you can go back and look at the transcripts. Mika was saying, watch out, America. Watch out, Republicans. You better not do this. Is this what you really want to do? And I guess what's chilling is that enough Americans did want that. They don't care. We keep talking about Trump. I'm sorry. We're going to have to take a much longer look after all this comes to an end at what led so many Americans to support a man who so clearly professionals in the military and in intelligence suggest may be unbalanced and may be unfit to have the nuclear codes with him.
Don't let the facts hit you in the rump on your way out the door, Mr. Scarborough, Scarface, Morning Joe. So the media represents itself as some sort of an original source of material, right? Unbiased, primary. And their watchers, Peter Gabriel has this song on the watchers of in the sky. They're the people that come to us through the broadcast, and they're looking out for us, and they're doing so because their main goal is to detect evil and put it down to the canary in the coal mine. The canary sniffs the the hidden gases coming out of the coal mine and dies. Well, these guys are the canaries, but they have a big fat megaphone, and they're not afraid to interpret reality for you because they're in touch with direct reality. Just like a biblical prophet, just like St. Paul. Check it out.
What do you say to that? I'm just going to speak from the heart here. What we have witnessed was a total eclipse of the facts. Someone who came out on stage and lied directly to the American people and left things out that he said in an attempt to rewrite history, especially when it comes to Charlottesville. He's unhinged. It's embarrassing. I don't mean for us, the media, because he went after us, but for the country. This is who we elected president of the United States.
The media are sacred lambs, always ready to be slaughtered to prove their purity.
A man who is so petty that he has to go after people who he deems to be his enemy, like an imaginary friend of a six-year-old. His speech was without thought. It was without reason. It was devoid of facts. It was devoid of wisdom. There was no gravitas. There was no sanity there. He was like a child blaming a sibling on something else. He did it. I didn't do it. He certainly opened up the race wound from Charlottesville, a man clearly wounded by the rational people who are abandoning him in droves, meaning those business people, and the people in Washington now who are questioning his fitness for office and whether he is stable. A man backed into a corner, it seems, by circumstances beyond his control and beyond his understanding. That's the truth. If you watch that speech as an American, you had to be thinking, what in the world is going on? This is the person we elected as a president of the United States, this petty, this small, the person who's supposed to pull the country together? Certainly didn't happen there.
Well, I thought that person was Obama. But if life gives you lemons, turn him into a gay black news anchor at CNN named Don Lemon. So anyway, you know, how many times can somebody get up and tell you that the sky is falling before you just completely dismiss their opinion? You know, how many times can this happen over and over again where the people come up and tell you the person that you thought was a good guy is a piece of garbage. He's insane. He never tells the truth. He's only here to mislead you. He's got the mentality of a child. He has no gravitas. He has no substance. The media has substance, by the way. I mean, they may not have studied the great philosophers, but they're so full of substance. It's just coming out of every nook and cranny. So that's what the mainstream media does. What happens after this, by the way? If Trump gets kicked out, what happens? Then the mainstream media is the president, right? Because then the mainstream media, or they're the kingmaker, the mainstream media gets to decide who goes and who stays. So therefore, we know that anybody who's conservative is just going to get removed by the media because they don't like that. And the facts don't really matter, do they? Here's a little bit from Hannity.
Our country needs to unify, to heal, and to remain one nation under God. We cannot remain a force for peace in the world. We are not at peace with each other.
It's time to expose the crooked media deceptions. We have to speak to Mitch, and we have to speak to everybody. You got to go to 51 votes, and if they don't do that, they're just wasting time. Nobody wants me to talk about your other senator, who's weak on borders, weak on crime.
We are not defined by the color of our skin, the figure on our paycheck, or the party of our politics. We are defined by our shared humanity.
Well, those three speeches happening within 48 hours, three different speeches, some analysts saying perhaps two different presidents making two different messages. This as there is some pushback and some battles between the Republican Party, the president tweeting out about Senator Jeff Flake. Phoenix crowd last night was amazing, a packed house. I love the great state of Arizona. Not a fan of Jeff Flake, weak on crime and border. Of course, he's the sitting incumbent senator there. Politico has a piece.
If I was Trump, I would have gotten up there with a bottle of Tegrin or some other dandruff medicine and said, we need to get rid of Flakes. All right, we'll take a break here and come back with your local news, 523-1450-805-6180. I got a heck of a lot more for you to hear along these lines. We'll be right back, including Hillary's continuing battle with reality. Talk about a person who's actually insane and blaming the rest of the world for everything that she's done to herself. You're going to hear about that next, too. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 630.
I hate to think it's all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Thought I'm nobody's sugar daddy.
Hey, it's Kelly. It's Kelly. It's Kelly. Would you please talk? Hello. All right, so you've got, and somebody called, and I realize the show is ending the format. If you've been living under a rock, we're in Iraq. The format is changing, so it's going to become Spanish music. Ipso facto, or ergo, I should say, you throw it in the Latin terms, there's not going to be talk radio here anymore. But having said that, I've said this 10,000 times, if you call me, this is a one-man routine. the music that you hear or the stuff that you hear on the radio is also coming through my machine. So if the phone is picked up, I'm on the other end and I'm trying to talk to you. So I'm shouting as the person called, I'm shouting into the phone, please talk. And they waited about 30 seconds and then just hung up. But all right. So call back if you want. All right. Here's the meme. So the left comes out of a tradition of being a minority party, of being a minority movement. Now, that doesn't bother them because they believe that they are the truly enlightened beings, and by definition, there can't be that many super smart and aware people out there. So from that group of super enlightened individuals comes the elites. And this, you know, this goes back to ancient Rome and before, the optimates and the leaders, you know, this small, the 300 families controlled ancient Rome. So people, the Senate and et cetera, got the positions that were used in ancient Rome, in the very various magistracies, which is what they called them. But you've got this idea here that basically the left has to trick the stupid masses into doing the right thing. So that's why the guy gets up and he gives this speech, gives a speech about why it was okay to trick people into Obamacare. I can't remember the guy's name. I think he had a German last name, but he was a professor at MIT. It's okay to lie to people if it helps them. And so, you know, you've got a way that people are influenced or motivated or kind of herded along, which is, the left comes together and comes up with a theme, and then they you know, everybody takes their part and they play the theme out. So you got James Clapper, James the Clap Clapper, getting up and saying that it was, the president is insane, right? I mean, so that's his gift to America. That's how he's going to save everything. So here, I'm just going to play this for you again. I know I played it for you a little bit yesterday, but in case you missed it, but just to make my point. Now, here is a guy, and I'm wondering, okay, let me play this first. Watch U.S. Intel Chief Clapper lie to Congress.
It is quite astonishing to see how reflexive guys like Brooks and Friedman and Tubin are. It's...
Well, I need to get to this. Here we go. Here's Clapper's lies.
Last summer, the NS...
And this is the Oregon senator who I didn't, and just until recently, realized had a lisp.
NSA director was at a conference, and he was asked a question about the NSA surveillance of Americans.
Ron Wyden, and this is from 2013, this 4 years old.
He replied, and I quote here, "The story that we have millions or hundreds of millions of dossiers on people is completely false." The reason I'm asking the question...
Now, this has been proved beyond a shadow of a doubt, and it became a weird, bizarre, ironic fact that when they were looking for the documents that Hillary had lost, her 30,000 lost emails, the NSA, by definition, had it. If the NSA had a purpose, at that point, it would have come forward to deliver the emails, right? But anyway, getting back to today's story.
Question is, having served on the committee now for a dozen years, I don't really know what a dossier is in this context. So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
That is an absolute bald-faced lie.
does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
The guy is a pathological liar, right? Okay, we proved that. Here we go now. James Clapper is suggesting Donald Trump is mentally unfit to be president. James Clapper has a role. He had a role with Obama and whoever else he worked for. He was a gatekeeper. He was the head of intelligence. And when it was necessary or profitable, meaningful to lie, he would lie. And he's doing the same thing. He's changed roles, but he's still a liar.
This morning, the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, openly questioned President Trump's fitness to serve in office. During an interview with CNN, Clapper said Trump's speech during his rally in Phoenix yesterday was something he never thought would come from the President of the United States.
Having some understanding of the levers of power that are available to a president if he chooses to exercise them, I found this downright scary and disturbing.
It's a meme. It's a story. He's reading his part. No different than getting up and lying to a Congress about whether there's any information that's kept on hundreds of millions or hundreds of millions of Americans. It's no less of a lie, and it's no less important.
The only people giving a platform to these hate groups is the media itself and the fake news.
All right, so we'll get to the point there. This guy, James Clapper, is nobody special. He's just like James Comey. James Comey had a role. The role was to protect Hillary. Now, James Comey got a little ahead of himself. He saw himself as a messianic figure. He was the Jesus figure that was going to come and save everybody, because that's who he called himself, Reinhold Niebuhr. And for whatever else James Comey was up to, James Comey purposefully released information that was classified so that they had to appoint a special prosecutor, special investigator to look into Trump, right? So what is James Comey's role in all this? It's the same as James Clapper. Don't you see the elites think that that's all there is? I don't know anything about James Comey's religious views, but I know that he's a guy of the far left, and because but really it's like a cult. Like I was saying yesterday, there's this supposed Illuminati that comes out of history that sums up this kind of devilish attempt to control a world. That's what these people are. They are, whether they're, you know, I doubt any of them are consciously in the Illuminati, but they're part of a group of people who see themselves as elites, and they're going to control everything, and they'll use whatever means are at their hand, including claiming the president is insane, including leaking information and then pretending that you didn't know anything about it, and then getting a prosecutor, an investigator on the president from the very beginning to drive him nuts, spending all of your time talking about Russia and then dropping it in a heartbeat. You see what I mean? It's no different than the Wakefield mystery plays, these very primitive plays in England that were the foundation of British theater. And the church, because the people were illiterate, the church used these Wakefield, this cycle, to tell the stories that were in the Bible, put people on the stage, give them a little part, and so you can show them who Moses was and Noah and King David and all this. So it's no different. The intellectual might and ability of the average American has been boiled down, has been reduced, and now we've been turned into puppets who can't think. And the media comes along and fills us full of propaganda. 644 Kelly O'Connell, we'll be right back.
I got the love sick blues. Well, I'm in love with a beautiful gal.
All right. So Frankie had called up and said that Trump was going to get destroyed by Russia. Here's my answer to that.
Mr. Producer, today is Tuesday, correct? Ladies and gentlemen, it is day 10 of no mention in the media of Russian collusion. We will start at count benches, and that's okay. But it's day 10, no mention of Russian collusion. Isn't that amazing? Day 10. Now, that's not to say they won't get back to it. But you see, Russian collusion, ladies and gentlemen, was so seminal to the destruction of the fabric of our electoral system, nay, our entire country. It was so obvious. It was so ubiquitous. Russian collusion with Trump world. We have a special counsel who's putting the pressure on Manafort to turn on somebody by trying to destroy the guy's finances and his business and take his home from him. Hey, that's really good there, Mr. Mueller, Mr. Tough Guy. Anyway, it was so crucial. Day after day, week after week, month after month, this is all we heard about. A new shoe dropped, a centipede of shoes coming to the New York Times, the Washington Post. Didn't matter if it was true. They would issue corrections left and right. But, you know, that was in the dust. They were busy speeding ahead with the story. CNN had secrets from the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Oh, we had public hearings, spectacles, Klieg lights. It was unbelievable. Now, crickets. Hello, hello, Russian collusion. Shut up and sit down. We're busy. Trump's a racist. Stop bothering us. We're taking down monuments. We've moved on. Oh, sorry. That's right. We may get back to that if it works. We're trying to censure the guy in the House. We got Mitch McConnell. McConnell has said he doesn't know if Trump, if the administration can be rehabilitated. We got these jerks exactly where we want. Shut up with the damn Russian collusion stuff. We need it. We'll go back into that bucket. Right now, it's...
All right, so you see the point. And the point is that it's theater. I mean, if you understand anything about theater, theater is driven off of conflict. So what makes it compelling is there's a conflict between characters that has to be resolved, or it's not resolved by the end of the production. So the conflict here is that Trump is Hitler. We knew that before he went into office because the mainstream media let us know that he was Hitler, because they know a Hitler when they see one, and they saw one, and they let us know. So Don Lemon gets up and says that he's a liar without the tiniest shred of substance, and it's an absolute joke. It's like that song by the Bee Gees, I Started a Joke. I started to laugh, which started the whole world crying, you know, because that's who Trump is. He's an evil person who has to be destroyed, and we're going to use puppet theater to achieve our means, or whatever level of theater you think this is. It's certainly not Shakespeare. So let's take our last break here and come back. I've got a clip from Scott Adams about a lady who says that Trump is obviously deranged and out of his mind. He's a caged animal.
What's the matter with me? Well, I'm in love with a beautiful gal, but she don't care about me.
All right, here's Scott Adams, the cartoonist who was one of the first people to say that Trump would win, talking about a congresswoman who claims that Trump is insane.
25th Amendment.
And so I thought.
All right, let me backtrack this. Hold on a second. Gosh dang it. These things are so hard to control. Here we go. You're looking at a computer screen.
POTUS is showing signs of erratic behavior and mental instability that place the country in grave danger. Time to invoke the 25th Amendment.
And so
25th Amendment for the incapacity of the commander-in-chief.
I thought you might want to join me in watching this, which I haven't watched yet, so you'll be watching it at the same time that I am. So this is Congresswoman Jackie Spears, who is about to make her case on...
Any relation to Britney Spears?
CNN, that the President of the United States is literally crazy and that she can tell by looking at him and watching what he does, of course. So let us watch together as she makes the case that the commander-in-chief is batshit crazy and see how she comes off on this.
This place, the country.
He said bat feces crazy, but I had to block it.
In grave danger.
Grave danger.
To invoke the 25th Amendment. And Congresswoman Spear is joining me now. Thanks very much for taking the time to join us.
Okay, she looks...
It's like Jackie Collins after coming out of a coma.
She looks like a reasonable person.
Explain to us, our audience, what exactly you're basing this on. What specific examples can you cite of evidence that the president is not stable enough to
evidence.
Fulfill his job?
Good, good. Let's go with the evidence.
There's actually a growing mountain of evidence that
lots of
the president has been very erratic.
Very erratic.
Shown a mental instability. It was crystallized.
What about the evidence?
With a combination of.
Well, here it comes. The evidence.
Comments about fire and fury that he offered up against.
Hold on. Her evidence of his craziness is that he knows how to negotiate and has successfully moved North Korea. Is that her evidence that he's crazy? Because a less generous person would say that's evidence she's stupid.
All right, so that's the best evidence that she had. All right, I've got a little clip here from Peter O'Toole on David Letterman, the CHOP story.
Maybe you do know this, maybe you don't know this. I don't know if you keep in touch with the man or not. Richard Harris has been on our show many, many times in New York City. He's always delightful, always charming, always has great stories. And sometimes he has stories about you. And I was wondering if tonight maybe you happen to have a story about Richard Harris.
Oh, I'll shuffle through my memory. Clean?
Whatever you want. This is British TV. Go nuts.
Well, in the old days when Richard and I were young and poor, he lived in a dirty little spot in Earl's Court. It was a cupboard, I fancy, which he'd rented. And one night we'd been frolicking.
What does that mean? Let me stop you right there.
I'm not going to have enough time for the story. It is a classic, though. I'll play it for you the next hour. 6:58. Okay, so there is a theatrical production. It's being put on by the mainstream media. It is full of devils and knights in shining armor. It has Satan himself starring Donald Trump. And it is full of, like all plays, it's full of truths and half-truths and just utter fabrications. And each day there's a slightly different addition to the production. Sometimes the setting changes, but it's all meant to steer you towards the inevitable conclusion that Donald Trump is bat feces crazy and must be removed. 6:59, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Cue the laugh track right now. We'll be right back.
Okay.
tried and I tried to keep her satisfied, but she just wouldn't stay. So now that she is leaving, this is all I can say. I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, that's my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know how to do. All I do is sit and sigh. Oh, Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry.
Well, good morning. We have the moment that many people look forward to during the week. It is the Rossin Report. We have Ben Rossin here, sponsor of the show. Well, an old sponsor of the show.
Good morning, Kelly.
The show that is now being put out to pasture. Well, the entire, what do you think, Ben? The entire format is being changed to Spanish music.
Kelly, I'm very disappointed. This has been an important, you opened up with a that this is a segment that many people look forward to all week. This is a segment I look forward to all week, Kelly. I enjoy coming, getting a chance to sit here and have a conversation with you and share some information about what's going on in our community that hopefully is valuable to the to your listeners. It has been really special for me to be have this opportunity to be here.
That's been great. We really appreciate your sponsorship.
But it is very sad to me to see a station change from this format that actually provides information to a format that I would say is already out there in the community, and I don't think we need an additional station.
Yeah, and I got a map out. Well, I actually did this on the internet. I measured the distance from Tucson to Amarillo, and then from Albuquerque down to Austin. I started looking at everything. And it looked to be about 700 by 700 by 500 miles in which there would be no live talk radio. And then I had to check up on the source. I looked in Roswell, and they do have a morning show over there, so I had to adjust it a little bit. But we're talking 700 by 500 by 500 miles, which is something along the lines of maybe almost 500,000 square miles without talk radio live show, which I found to be astounding. Now, part of that is that, there's a lot of empty space, but there's also communities. El Paso doesn't have talk radio.
Not local.
Yeah, it doesn't have local talk radio. And so most of the communities in southern New Mexico don't. And so to me, talk radio, the spoken word format, is so powerful, and yet you're putting out this massive piece of land in the middle of America that doesn't have any of it. It's not going to have any of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly, that's one of the reasons that I've sponsored this show for years. This show brings a very important aspect to our community, helps bring information, gives people an opportunity to call in and have discussions that I think is very healthy.
Yeah, and even the leftist people that our regular callers, Frankie and Kathy, et cetera, have said that even though they just totally disagree with it, they're going to miss it, and that we need it. We do need it, especially in a community where it's default leftism. I think you need a chance for people to discuss the other options.
It is so important for us to discuss things with people that disagree. You mentioned Frankie. I had the opportunity a while back to sit down and have lunch with him and talk about some things. There is nothing bad about talking about these things, because that's where it'll help us to find common ground, help us find things we agree on, and help us refine our thoughts on something that maybe we've had this thought, someone else makes a good point, and we need to rethink it. And so having that conversation is critical to being able to have good thought processes going into law moving forward.
Yeah. So we do have one more week, so I had kind of misspoke.
Well, I'm glad that today's not my last show, but I am disappointed, Kelly, that means next week will be my last show.
No longer Death Row Radio, it's Death Watch Radio.
Yeah, I want to thank you specifically, Kelly, and I'm sure you've had some callers and other ones that'll call in to thank you, because you've provided a great service to this community.
Well, there's a sacrifice involved, but it's been enjoyable and one of the highlights of my life. If I ever get a chance to do it again, obviously, it would be because of what I learned here.
Well, Kelly, there's almost all the radio stations in this area are owned by two conglomerates. We have Adams Radio and we have Bravo Mike Radio. 1450 is owned by Bravo Mike. They own three other stations as well. But the other family of stations in our community is Bravo is Adams Radio. So I just encourage, if there's anyone out there that really wants to see this continue, maybe it's time to reach out to the other family of stations.
The Adams Radio, yeah. I'm trying to remember if I even have their number. But I'll have to look for that. But anyway, you can look it up on the in the internet.
Absolutely. Well, Kelly, there's a couple things I wanted to mention from Tuesday's County Commission meeting. The County Commission meeting started at 9 o'clock in the morning and finished around 8 o'clock at night, a very long meeting. The first item of significance, or I mean, there were several things that happened, but one of the items that got a lot of audience attention was MVEDA, the Mesilla Valley Economic Development Alliance. The county had issued out an RFP for economic development services, and we had two different applicants that had come in. One was the Mesilla Valley Economic Development Alliance, and the other one was the Hunt Institute out of El Paso. And they approached economic development very differently. MVEDA focuses on boots on the ground, meeting with companies when they're coming in, picking them up at an airport, taking them around to the community, showing them where the workforce is, showing them potential site locations, very much hands-on working with people. They also talk with these companies ahead of time, provide them information about the community and statistics and those type of things. The Hunt Institute has a very different approach to economic development. Their approach is studies. So they do studies to show trends and more academia type work from that. County staff, to my disappointment, Kelly, recommended splitting that award, $100,000, to each one of those companies. In the past, MVEDA has received $200,000, and here we are talking about taking that away from boots on the ground. The way I referred to it in the commission meeting was that county staff is telling us it's less important to have the boots on the ground, actually people working with companies that are bringing jobs to our community, and more important to get another study on the books. And that was very disappointing to me to see that direction. Thankfully, the commission agreed with me, and we're moving forward with going to stay with boots on the ground, actually working with companies that are really bringing jobs here, not theories. And so we'll be moving forward in that direction. Then, Kelly, I had an item. I've spoken to you before about the El Paso Electric substation they're looking at putting in Talavera. I had an item on there to say that substation shouldn't be adjacent to residential areas. You know, it needed not to be somebody's new back wall. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get a second on that, Kelly, and that was very frustrating to me.
Well, so what is the problem with that? Is that something that can come up again?
Well, it's probably dead at this point from the county commission standpoint. You know, oftentimes when you have something that's solely in your district, the commission defers to you on it because the only thing it impacts is your district. But that was not the case on Tuesday, which was very disappointing. Then we got to PACE loans, property assisted clean energy loans, which would allow a solar energy company to come to your home. If you don't qualify for a mortgage, they say, hey, just sign this sheet of paper here. We'll get the county to put it on your tax bill. To put it on your tax bill, and then that would be collected through the taxes. Well, our treasurer has spoken out against that. Eric Rodriguez spoke out against that. So did the banking industry. So did the home building industry. So did the realtor industry. Every one of those organizations, because they understand that what happens is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will no longer carry those mortgages. So that means 80% of the mortgages in our community are no longer, they can't go through that process. And so there's some very significant ramifications on that. Of course, as you know, I'm very close to the housing industry. It's very dear to my heart. And so I was able to convince the commissioners on that one not to go forward with it through a rather emotional plea.
Well, that's good. Emotion is part of persuasion.
There we go. And the last item of big significance was the ATV, UTV ordinance that was passed that will allow individuals to drive their ATVs and UTVs on county roads. So they can now do that. Still can't drive on state roads, but you can drive on county roads.
Very nice.
So long meeting, a lot of good things that were accomplished. That one frustrating thing about not being able to get a second, but We'll have to work on that some more.
I'm looking to see if anybody's got some text for you here.
I almost know that text number by heart now, Kelly. It's 805 something or another.
Well, you got half of it. Third of it. 805-6180. I'm actually turning this number into my personal phone number, so I'll have that if anybody wants to text me or call me or whatever. Because my cell phone, I had when I first went into business here, was my business phone to save money, and so that, you know, that tends to backfire.
Understood.
But so the plan is to do Blog Talk Radio. And what I was thinking of maybe putting a week or so, week or two pre-recorded shows from the most recent days and rerunning those just so I can kind of catch up on my sleep. But what do you think from, I was thinking if in terms of convenience for me, 7 to 8 in the morning, doing an hour and seeing where that goes.
I think that's a great idea. Kelly, I have kids that I'm getting up in the morning and trying to get ready for the day, so I usually don't catch your first hour of the day. I'll always catch it later on Blog Talk. I'll listen to that throughout the day.
How do you find Blog Talk Radio for those out there who are maybe a little technology challenged?
Just go to blogtalkradio.com, and then you search in there for Kelly O'Connell, and it'll pull up your most recent show, or if you do it during a show, it'll pull up the current show. And you can just scroll down to different shows. I tend to download them so that I can listen to them as I'm driving. I like to listen to radio as I'm driving, and this is my favorite radio show. So this is the one I listen to.
Well, that's because you're on it.
There we go.
You have an immodest reason. But you can, in the term podcast is thrown around. What's a podcast? It's just a show that's on the internet as opposed to over the air. Although in the case of this show, we do the live. I pay for my own podcasting, but the station provides the studio and the airtime for me. I don't pay for that, but I do pay for the broadcasting on the internet through Blog Talk Radio. So, if you want to find that, I guess I'm going to have to put together an email. I had an email thing, but Frankie buried it. In so many emails, I don't know if it was KellyO'Connell@mail.com, Frankie sent me so many emails, I stopped going there. With all due respect, Frankie. All right, so what other stuff is going on?
Well, you know, Kelly, on that note, I'll put after our last show next week, I'll put a note out on my Facebook page where people can find that. So hopefully we'll drive some attention there, because I still think this format is something that's very important for our community. And I hope you'll continue to have some local on there.
Oh, of course. I mean, the whole thing is locally. You got to have a local content. And I know that when I do local shows, even though I know people are interested in national and international, that they do have the immediate reaction to what's local, because that's the things that most, you know, directly affect their lives. Okay, are you have anything else for us?
Well, Kelly, I always enjoy getting callers in. I'll probably stay around for another segment and see if anyone has any questions. And otherwise, I'll listen to you.
Do you want to hear the story from
the one you ran out of time for?
Yeah, here's Peter O'Toole. You want to hear this?
Sounds great.
All right.
When you say frolicking, what are we talking about?
All right, so Peter O'Toole, who's one of the most famous actors of his generation and most talented, was in Lawrence of Arabia, was very good friends with Richard Harris, and they're both from Ireland. And Richard Harris was, I think he played Irish football, which is kind of like rugby. And then he got injured and he had to find something else to do. And then Peter O'Toole was in the Navy and he was cashiered. He was kicked out of the Navy for taking a double portion of daily rum. So anyway, these guys both love to drink, and you would have to know something about the culture of Ireland in Ireland to understand how important drinking is to a person who's from there. But anyway, here we go. Richard Harris and Peter O'Toole, and they're on the David, Peter O'Toole's on the David Letterman show, but Peter O'Toole is staying at Richard Harris's apartment, and this is before either one of them was famous.
Well, it's a kind of Joycean word, really, an F and a ollock and a...
Oh, yeah.
We'd finished our frolicking, and of course, I was living nowhere in particular, so I thought I may as well kip on Richard's floor, or his bed, or even if he was too drunk, I could kip in the bed. Didn't really matter. And we got back to this little filthy spot of his, of course, and we were hungry, and not hungry for beer or whiskey.
A meal, honest meal.
Hungry.
Yeah.
So we opened the freezer, and inside there was one chop.
Pork chop?
I don't know if it was a pork chop or a lamb chop or what kind of chop it was.
I'm going to pretend it was a pork chop. All right?
There was this old pork chop.
All right, good.
Kosher pork chop. Ancient. Clearly been there for quite a long time. Not as savory as a camel. So we smelt it, looked at it, and thought better of it. We won't. So we threw it through a window. Pop. Came the morning. We left his hole. And under the window from which we'd thrown the pork chop, there was a dead dog. My dear friend Richard Harris tells the same story, but in his version, it's a cat.
Whole different deal.
Which will show you what condition Richard was in.
Oh, in fact, thought it might have been a cat. Yeah. Well, either way, it's a lovely story.
All right, so we're here with Ben still, and all right, Ben. So, well, second to last show. Any thoughts?
You know, Kelly, one of the things that I would love to hear from your listeners is what aspects of this have been helpful and have been information that they would like to continue to receive. And if they have any ideas on how to continue to receive that, I do work with a Facebook page trying to get some information out that way. But maybe there's some other ideas out there, and I'd love to hear from a caller or two if any of your listeners had some thoughts.
Yes, indeed. And phone line's not exactly burning up. 523-1450. It's funny because when you're listening, I was listening to a show the other day on another station, and I wanted them to play what was the call letters or the place on the dial, and they didn't do it. So it is kind of funny. You have to say it 3,000 times a day for people to have the number. Thanks for the call. Put you on hold. Hold on. Thanks for the call. And who's this?
This is Miles.
Hold on 1 second, Miles. Thanks for the call. Okay. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
This is Jerry.
I'll be right back. Hold on. Miles, go ahead.
This really is for Ben. He was just talking about another avenue to use, and I do definitely think that the Facebook page is good and whatnot, but, you know, it might be a real good idea to, you know, look into doing some kind of an audio recording or something like that, much like your Blog Talk Radio thing, and just, you know, kind of put his update in that format, and you know, we could download or listen to it in that format.
Great, Miles. Thank you. Would you recommend that be something I post on the Facebook page or I put on a web page somewhere? What would be easy for you to access?
Probably do a couple of things. And the only reason I say that is because, for instance, I don't have Facebook, so I would want to have another avenue of being able to get into that somehow, whether it be a website or whatnot.
Okay.
You know, it just needs to be in a couple of different formats because, you know, not everybody has Facebook, amazingly enough.
That's right. Well, I didn't have it before I became a commissioner, and I decided I needed to get the message out, so I understand completely. Thank you very much, Miles. I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Miles. And Jerry? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I think I understood Ben to say that this new ATV ordinance would allow you to ride on county roads, but not on state.
Correct.
I thought the state passed a law to, or whatever it is, to allow people to ride on state roads, and it'd be up to the county to decide whether they wanted to let people ride on county roads.
Well,
maybe I misunderstood him, but
Jerry, my understanding.
Jerry, hold on.
My understanding of that, Jerry, and I can do some verifying and get back to you, but the state does not allow it on state roads, but did give the opportunity for counties to allow that on county roads. And so, it's still not possible to ride on, say, Valley Road, which is a state road.
Yeah. Okay. I misunderstood it when I read it. I thought the state had passed a law that you could travel on state roads and it was up the county. But I understand what's happening now. So they just give the counties authority to establish their own ordinance, right?
Correct. Yes, sir, Jerry.
Okay.
Thank you, Jerry.
I couldn't make the meeting. I had a medical problem with my wife. And
oh, no.
So I couldn't make it. But I was going good intentions, but I couldn't make it. I had to take her to the doctor.
Sorry about that, Jerry. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right, folks, we'll hit our local news now, and Ben's taking off, 523-1450, if you want to catch him before he goes out the door. And Hank Williams for you, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to talk, text, and we'll be right back. Local news. I don't know if I played this, but well, another Hank Williams classic. The Hillbilly Shakespeare.
Yeah, that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
All right, I have a clip from Hillary in which she described her skin crawling because Donald Trump was behind her. And the whole time I'm listening to this, all I can think about is Bill Clinton creeping up on women or standing behind women and sexually assaulting him. I was just amazed that she put this in her book. Here's a clip.
Stunning words from her new book, including what she thought about sharing the stage with the Republican nominee Donald Trump at that one debate. Listen.
This is not okay, I thought.
And by the way, why would she record the book to sound like a robot when she's been accused of having a robotic? Does this lady who has spent her entire life in the media not understand how important it is to humanize your voice? I honestly don't get this woman.
It was the second presidential debate, and Donald Trump was looming behind me. 2 days before, the world heard him brag about groping women. Now we were on a small stage, and no matter where I walked, he followed me closely, staring at me, making faces. It was incredibly uncomfortable. He was literally breathing down my neck. My skin crawled. It was one of those moments where you wish you could hit pause and ask everyone watching, well, what would you do? Do you stay calm, keep smiling, and carry on as if he weren't repeatedly invading your space? Or do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, back up, you creep. Get away from me. I know you love to intimidate women, but you can't intimidate me, so back up. I chose option A. I kept my cool, aided by a lifetime of dealing with difficult men trying to throw me off. I did, however, grip the microphone extra hard. I wonder, though, whether I should have chosen option B. It certainly would have been better TV. Maybe I have overlearned the lesson of staying calm, biting my tongue.
staying calm while my husband molests and assaults women sexually. Great lesson, Hillary.
Digging my fingernails into a clenched fist, smiling all the while, determined to present a composed face to the world.
With me now to discuss, Jonathan Allen, roll call columnist and co-author of Shattered, Inside Hillary Clinton's Doom Campaign. Jonathan, it is fascinating to listen to that thought bubble commentary from Hillary Clinton as you see the images from that moment play out on the screen.
It's really amazing to hear her narrating her own book there. You watch Donald Trump behind her, and I can't help but think that any man who did that to a woman in a Walmart shopping aisle would be, somebody would call the police on them for doing that. This is something she actually practiced in her debate prep, as Amy Parnes and I reported Shattered. Her longtime advisor, Philippe Ryan, has practiced getting into her physical space so that she was accustomed to Donald Trump doing that if he did it and would be able to be calm. And so she.
What is this? There's certain things that I don't understand in life, and this is one of them. This is absolutely crazy for a woman whose husband has repeatedly been associated with sexual assaults on women who had no interest in him romantically. And then she's got to act like she's some little Bo Peep who's never been around a man before. This is crazy. I mean, all of the women that said that they tried to get a hold of her and get their help, and she treated them like garbage, but she doesn't know how to act around a predator, a male predator. She's married to one.
What happened is just 3 weeks away from release. You probably pre-ordered it, but we have newly released excerpts. In them, Clinton describes her visceral disgust, her revulsion at sharing a debate stage with Donald Trump.
It was the second presidential debate, and Donald Trump was looming behind me. 2 days before, the world heard him brag about groping women. Now we were on a small stage, and no matter where I walked, he followed me closely, staring at me, making faces. It was incredibly uncomfortable. He was literally breathing down my neck. My skin crawled. It was one of those moments where you wish you could hit pause and ask everyone watching, well, what would you do? Do you stay calm, keep smiling, and carry on as if he weren't repeatedly invading your space? Or do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, back up, you creep. Get away from me.
That's from the audiobook. Imagine listening to that on a long road trip. I don't even think Hillary voters would want to do that. Mark Stein has written, I think, more books than Hillary. He joins us now. So, Mark, there's this moment in there. I don't think we just played it, but she says this. She said, these are her thoughts as she's on the debate stage with Trump. She says, I know you love to intimidate women, but you can't intimidate me. And yet she basically goes on to explain how intimidated she is by him. Which is it? Is she the victim or the strong person?
Yeah, when you said that was the audiobook, by the way, I've already got that voice in my car. It's the one that tells you to fasten your seatbelt. I don't actually need an extended director.
I don't think I'm allowed to laugh, but anyway.
But initially when I heard it, when she's talking about this guy looming behind her, making her feel uncomfortable, invading her space with a reputation for groping women, and she wants to say, back off, you creep, I thought she was recalling her first date with Bill. But apparently not. This is how she feels about Trump. And there is something actually quite amazing, even when we go back to what you've been talking about tonight with the ESPN and all that Hillary Clinton is so unself-aware that she writes the central passage of her book is about what it's like to be made to feel uncomfortable by a man with a reputation for groping women. Well, now you know how Paula and Monica and Kathleen and Juanita and all the rest of them feel. It's incredible. This could have been an interesting book, but if it's as phony as this, this is just going to be, I believe, her third unread memoir.
You got to wonder, though, if there's not an editor who maybe took psych 101 in college who could say to her, you know, maybe you shouldn't write that. I mean, in here she says, you know, I've had a lifetime of dealing with difficult men. Maybe right. An editor would say, yeah, let's go ahead and take that out. You know what I mean? Because right. We don't want to add to the psychodrama. I guess no one in her universe can tell her that.
No, and can't tell her that the truth, which is that we'd all actually like to know the truth of the Clinton marriage. She knows some very dark secrets, and that would make an interesting book. But what's interesting here, too, is that if you just think, and we talked about this a few months ago, if you just think of the excuses she has come up with as to why she lost the election, we did a whole segment on her blaming it on Macedonian content farmers, if you recall. And you actually sent a reporter to the Macedonian embassy in Washington.
Of course, someone needed to defend the honor of Macedonia. Yeah.
Exactly. And so this would be the all-time greatest thriller. If Hillary traces the secret of her defeat, she actually visits a Macedonian content farm, and there's some gnarled old Macedonian content farmers sitting on the weathered porch of the Macedonian content farm playing the gadolka as they sing the ancient peasant songs of their people, Macedonian content farmers back through the generations. That would have been an interest.
All right, so anyway, Hillary has had to fight against men her whole life. Now, what exactly, I mean, did she fight her way to the top on her own, or did she ride the coattails of her abusive, sexually assaulting, insensitive, and rapacious husband? Here's Kathy. This is reminding me of Kathy Griffin.
Right now, I've never done a press conference. I don't really know how they work. Feel free to jump in.
Actually, I can't. I'll lose my appetite for the rest of the week. Let's take a little break here and come back and talk about a great story by Dennis Prager. 743 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1455, 23, 1450, 805, 61802. Text. I'm in a text war right now with somebody who's trying to tell me that Diane Linderman is local live radio in El Paso, which I'm trying to point out to them that I've listened to that lady before. She's good. I've heard her talk about living in Oregon, but this person's telling me she lives in Texas. But anyway, there's a wide swath of uncovered area in the Southwest here with going to be no talk radio, very sad.
You know, not
live local radio.
When time goes crawling by, the moon just went behind the cloud to hide its face and cry.
Forget Dennis Prager. Let's hear Hillary again.
This is not okay, I thought. It was the second presidential debate, and Donald Trump was looming behind me. 2 days before, the world heard him brag about groping women. Now we were on a small stage, and no matter where I walked, he followed me closely, staring at me, making faces. It was incredibly uncomfortable. He was literally breathing down my neck. My skin crawled. It was one of those moments where you wish you could hit pause and ask everyone watching, well, what would you do? Do you stay calm, keep smiling, and carry on as if he weren't repeatedly invading your space? Or do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, back up, you creep. Get away from me. I know you love to intimidate women, but you can't intimidate me, so back up. I chose option A. I kept my cool, aided by a lifetime of dealing with difficult men trying to throw me off.
Poor Hillary. Had to deal with a lifetime of men trying to throw her off. Here's a little blast from the past.
Reported that as First Lady, Hillary led the effort to disparage her husband's woman accusers who were dismissed as bimbo eruptions. In November, she wrote on her Twitter page, she said,
Every survivor of sexual assault deserves to be heard, believed, and supported.
That's interesting. I was never heard and supported and believed. She tried to basically derail me.
So there's when it's not happening to her, I guess Hillary has got a different take on it, but she called those bimbo eruptions. Here's Kathy Griffin.
Really nervous right now. I've never done a press conference.
She is one haggardly haggish woman.
I don't really know how they work.
This lady is worth tens of millions of dollars, by the way. Don't feel sorry for her. She's the one who came up with the dismembered head.
Cut off Nike.
The one that had the head of Trump that was cut off. So here we go.
Ben? And when I get nervous, I like make jokes, so I'm probably gonna like.
She's a comedian. That's shocking.
Stumble and stuff.
She's gonna make some comments, and then we'll do questions. Okay.
I sort of had a speech prepared, so but my notes are by the wayside. It's all off the cuff. Look, I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. He's a bully. I've dealt with older white guys trying to keep me down my whole life. I've dealt with older white guys trying to keep me down my whole life, my whole career.
Yeah, you and Hillary. I guess Hillary didn't say it was white guys, or did she? But it's pretty obvious if it's Donald Trump. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Hillary Clinton is a victim. The last story here is on Dennis Prager, who's a conservative commentator, and he went to lead a symphony in California and was attacked. I've got a little clip on that. Attacked for being a far-right bigot, which, you know, Dennis Prager is one of the most interesting and astute and articulate people on the right. I wonder if he's been held down by white men his whole life.
Prager Show. We can clear the line, by the way, because we're going to a new subject here. So, as many of you know, there's been controversy over my conducting the Santa Monica Symphony Orchestra next Wednesday night at Walt Disney Music Hall, one of the truly prestigious halls in the country. And it's been a big deal, and it's covered around the country. The opposition to my conducting there. I was unanimously reinvited by the board of directors of the Santa Monica Symphony Orchestra, and it will take place. It seems the seats are almost sold out, to the best of my knowledge. But I always believe it is important to hear what people who have great disdain for me
have. All right, this is a 35-minute clip, and we really don't have time for it. What I'm going to do is get into an article that he wrote that covers this situation, and what he was invited to do this, and I guess he does it regularly. He conducts symphonies in Southern California. So then he writes an article August 23rd yesterday, How the Mainstream Media Operate. Our leading media are characterized by indefensibly corrupt manipulations of language repeated incessantly. He's quoting Patrick Lawrence in The Nation, August 9th, 2017, on the media's reporting of the alleged collusion between Donald Trump's campaign and Russia. I'm just going to read this to you as opposed to cherry picking it. I think I have enough time. To understand America's crisis today, one must first understand what has happened to two institutions, the university and the news media. They do not regard their mission as education and informing, but indoctrinating. In this column, I will focus on the media. I will dissect one issue that I know extremely well, the national and local coverage of the invitation extended to me to guest conduct the Santa Monica Symphony Orchestra at the Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles. The concert took place last week. I am well aware that this event is far less significant than many other issues, but every aspect of the reporting of this issue applies to virtually every issue the media covers. Therefore, understanding how the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, NPR covered my story leads to an almost perfect understanding of how the media cover every story where the left has a vested interest. When it comes to straight news stories, say an earthquake in Central America, the news media often do their job responsibly. But when a story has a left-wing interest, the media abandons a straight news reporting approach and takes on the role of advocates. As I explained in detail in a previous column, the board of directors of the Santa Monica Symphony Orchestra and its conductor, Guido Lamel, invited me to guest conduct a Haydn symphony at the Walt Disney Concert Hall. I've conducted regional orchestras in Southern California for 20 years. And sometime thereafter, four members of the orchestra published a letter asking their fellow musicians not to perform, claiming Dennis Prager is a right-wing radio host who promotes horribly bigoted positions. They were joined by former Santa Monica Mayor Kevin McCown, who announced, "I personally will most certainly not be attending a concert featuring a bigoted hate monger," among other statements. Then the New York Times decided to weigh in. And the first question is why? Why write about a controversy in a local community orchestra? And he says, "I'm quite certain the one reason was to protect the left." My original column on the issue titled "Can a Conservative Conduct an Orchestra?" went viral, and it made the left look bad. Not only was the left trying to prevent conservatives from speaking, it was now trying to prevent a conservative from not speaking, from just making music. Therefore, it was necessary to show that the left in Santa Monica had a legitimate reason to try to prevent me from conducting. And the only way to do that was to reaffirm that I'm a hater and a bigot. And the Times writer wasted no time in portraying me that way. He wrote, quote, "A number of them are refusing to play the fundraiser, saying that allowing the orchestra to be conducted by Mr. Prager, who has suggested that same-sex marriage would lead to polygamy and incest, among other contentious statements, would be tantamount to endorsing and normalizing bigotry." Lesson number one that he learns: when the mainstream media writers say that a conservative suggested something that sounds, hold on a second here, that sounds outrageous, it usually means the conservative never actually said it. After all, why write "suggested" and not say that he said it? So anyway, he goes through here, running out of time, but mischaracterization of this event caused him a lot of, I'll have to bring this up tomorrow in his lessons. But I mean, we've all seen it. We've seen it with, and this is, I didn't realize how long it was. I thought I could read through it, but we've seen how Trump was treated. We've seen how anybody who inconveniences the left is treated. We've got to reclaim our media and get them to cover facts and separate the facts from the editorializing, number one. And number two, try to get some balance out there so people, if they're interested in getting educated on topics, are able to do so. Anyway, 759 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Great to spend time with you. Tomorrow is going to be the last Friday we spend together. See you back in 22 hours. Ciao.